First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We start you with the headlines that you need to know. Look, the Rams and Chargers might be moving into a $5 billion stadium. It seems like money might not be an issue to Rams ownership, but, oh, Twitter might not agree with that. Todd Gurley went to Twitter to tweet the Rams today and say, Rams, at Rams NFL, past due, send me my money ASAP. And then on top of that, Clay Matthews quote tweets it with, you and me both, TG, better get some interest with that too. Apparently, there's some issue, and remember, Gurley signed a one-year contract with the Falcons. But the Rams believe they are in full compliance with the league and the players' contracts, a source told ESPN, the team not making any comments. In the meantime, a couple of big-name players that are no longer with the team that are looking for their paychecks. Speaking of paychecks, the Bulls going to be giving a paycheck to somebody new. The Bulls have tabbed Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnisovas to lead basketball ops. He's currently the Nuggets GM. He will replace John Paxson, who'd been running the Bulls basketball operations since 2003. So Karnisovas will now have to reshape the totality of an organization that has not reached the postseason in the past two seasons, which will include hiring a new GM and additional basketball operations and scouting positions. So the complete rebuild takes the next step in Chicago. And lastly, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby is concerned about having a full football season. Heather Dinich has a great article out on ESPN.com where the quote is, whether or not we can have a full or robust season is still in question. Quote, virtually every program is highly reliant on football revenue. We're making lots of contingency plans, but if you don't get the anticipated number of games in, you lose the donations, you lose the sponsorships, you lose the gate receipts, and you lose the TV. It's potentially very impactful. At this point, it should be noted the Big 12 has eliminated all year-end bonuses. They're formulating a reduced scope of operation plan to save money. They're doing everything they can, but we're not sure what it's going to look like for the future of this season and what that could mean to college football as a whole. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's have a little fun. Every day we try and take something for First Take to get your take on it, to have a little fun with. And we all know that we're going to be talking today about horse, the game that so many of us have played poorly for most of our lives. It's alarming how long a horse game can take when you have a bunch of people that suddenly can't make a shot. But we do know that NBA stars are going to be involved in a horse contest that will be televised on ESPN. The first round matchups will be Sunday on ESPN from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Finals and semifinals April 16th on ESPN from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to get to see stars play horse. My question to you is, which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in a horse contest? 888-SAFE-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get in there. Tell me, past or present, which player you want to most see participating in the horse contest. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. We are getting a ton of different names on this, so I expect you guys to bring it. Tell me who. Tell me why. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get to some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. I'm trying to save you money here. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Let's get the Straight Talk from LeBron James. And LeBron James was on a conference call with reporters talking about what it would feel like for him if the NBA season does not resume.
I don't know if I will be able to have any closure. I can have some satisfaction on what our team has been able to do this year, having a first-year coach, first-year system, bringing on so many new pieces to our team this year, doing the things that, honestly, like I told you guys all year, I honestly didn't think that we would be able to come together as fast as we did, just having the whole new system, having so many new players, having so many new pieces, you know, bringing in Anthony. He spent 7 years in New Orleans, so he was coming into a new system, playing along with myself, and how we would be able to come together. I thought it would take us a lot longer than it did, but I was wrong. I will have some satisfaction, like I said, on just being with my brothers, thinking about some of the road trips that we had, thinking about some of the games that we lost, some of the games that we won, some of the games that we overcame, and then that everything that we've been going through this season, just the ups and downs, not only on the floor, but off the floor, everything that we've had to endure as the Laker faithful and us as players and coaching staff and organization has been so much so. Closure, no. But to be proud of what we've been able to accomplish to this point, I'll be able to look back and be like, okay, you did something special in that small period of time.
First, take your take on ESPN. Look, I'm trying to cut LeBron off even when I'm in the middle of listening to him. So closure, difficult word to figure out how to deal with. But the other part of it is success. Should LeBron consider this season a success, even though he doesn't have closure, if there is no continuation to the NBA season? Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about whether LeBron should consider it a success if he doesn't have closure. We're having some issue getting you that, so we'll get you Stephen A.'s take on it. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. I'll say this as we look at closure and success. To me, no matter what happens to the rest of the NBA season, LeBron has had success in this year with the Lakers. And not just because of what he was doing on the floor. Not just because they came together so quickly. Not just because of how good the Lakers looked when it all was said and done throughout the course of the season. No. For everything he did off the court this year. Remember, Lakers fans hesitated to embrace LeBron, right? Lakers legacy hesitated to embrace LeBron. That all changed this year. We forget because it's been such a long year for so many of us. We forget what the impact was to all of us, to Lakers fans, particularly with the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and seven others in the helicopter accident. When you talk about that moment, it became a defining moment for LeBron. I said it at the time, I'll say it again. Asking a locker room to grieve at the same time, in the same way, and to all get through something as tragic as that together is incredibly difficult. Not only did the Lakers accomplish that, but it didn't tear them apart. In fact, it galvanized them and brought them together. Much of that credit, to me, lies at the feet of LeBron James and his ability to handle the moment. The fact that he handled the moment together so well, the fact that he brought this team together, that they gelled so quickly, that they were playing such incredible basketball, while at the same time LeBron was achieving things that are simply remarkable for where he is in his career at this point, are all reasons that this season is a success. I realize it's not the ultimate success if he doesn't have a championship to raise at the end of the year. If the season's cut short, it's not an ultimate success, but anybody that wants to look at the legacy of LeBron, when they do that, after all is said and done, this year, should there be no more basketball, I think will lie as a feather in the cap of LeBron for his greatness and for a moment where he did the unexpected, he did the almost impossible, and he made it all come together. We'll keep getting the thoughts. We'll try and work on getting that thought from Stephen A. and the First Take guys. But I want to get your take. We're asking you if you could get any player, past or present, that you want to see participating in the NBA horse contest that we'll be televising this weekend. Who would it be and why? Let's hop over there and get some of your take. Mark in Ohio, who you got?
I would say Dr. J, without a doubt. The man could fly. Not only that, he could hit the jumper. He could hit outside. He did it all. Dr. J was the man.
Well, I love that, and I love the throwback. That's why I said past or present. Look, it's easy to say, fine, nobody would want to play horse against Steph, right? Steph will just go further and further back and still make the shots. But I love this past or present. Give me guys that you think, you know, and what's their weapon going to be in horse? How are they going to beat everybody? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want you guys to chime in. Which player, past or present, you would most like to see participating in the horse contest? Meantime, we're going to try this again. The conversation about whether or not this season is a success. Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. They had the debate over success and closure for LeBron this year.
No, there's no closure. LeBron James, as I've said on many, many occasions, graduated a long time ago. We take for granted, and maybe we should, his success from October to April. It is a foregone conclusion. He's going to average 27 a game. He's going to be one of the top three players, if not the best player on the planet, et cetera, et cetera. He has graduated to a point where you almost virtually ignore what he's doing during the regular season, and he's measured by what transpires in the postseason. And with Kawhi Leonard right there in L.A., with Russell Westbrook and Harden in Houston, with the Greek Freak in the Eastern Conference in Milwaukee, but there's no closure. Without closure, all we're able to look at LeBron and say is, he's the same old LeBron. Same old day, same thing, different day. Bottom line is, he's still great. He's doing what he's doing. But without closure, we can't fully appreciate the greatness that we were witnessing from him throughout this season. And that is why I say that the season wouldn't be a success, because when it comes to LeBron, one way or another, closure is what ultimately defines him, because everything in between you can pretty much presume is going to transpire, and you ultimately dismiss it. You also take it for granted, dismiss it or whatever. That's the situation. He's measured by the closing results. And without a closing result, we're just not going to appreciate what we saw.
Obviously, it's not the ultimate success that a championship would be. And for the Lakers, by the way, and I did Afternoon Drive in L.A. I was there for almost 6 years on the radio. For L.A., for the Lakers in particular, a season that you don't win a championship is not considered a success. You have to win the championship. So especially LeBron now, it's his second season there. Ultimately, that would be true. Were you to have had an injury? You know, was the season a success? No, you can't say it because other teams would go on to win the championship. Some other team would. But the fact that no one is playing, if the season were not able to be finished, was this season a success for LeBron? Of course, we're talking about relatively at this point. But yes, you'd have to say yes. You're right, Stephen A. Usually, for LeBron, it's about, almost always, it's about what you do in the playoffs. Last year, he didn't make the playoffs. He got hurt, didn't make the playoffs. This would be an exception because there are no playoffs. And because unlike recent seasons, I would say starting with his last year in Miami through this year, he's taken his foot off the accelerator in the regular season. Because as you said, he knows he's being judged on the playoffs. He's a wise man. He's a wise player. That's why he's enjoyed this kind of longevity. One of the reasons he's learned how to pace himself, play high IQ basketball, and then match that with high effort basketball for him in the playoffs. That's true. But this year, my criticism of him was he put his pedal, the pedal to the metal basically the whole season since the beginning. And you should make plans, longer range plans. I thought Kawhi was smart, load management. LeBron, what are you doing? You're going to be gassed for the playoffs. Look, the flip side of that is if you take a there, you're not guaranteed tomorrow philosophy, you'll do your best today, which is basically what LeBron did all year. So he doesn't get credit taken away from him, which is what that would be, by saying his season wasn't a success. He played outstanding ball, like even by his standards, from wire to wire, however you want to measure those wires. And he beat Giannis and Kawhi in back-to-back games toward the end of what might be the end of the regular season, which also kind of puts a stamp on it. It's not like, oh, Kawhi kept getting them. He couldn't beat the Bucks. He has the second-best record in basketball, the best overall in the Western Conference. He got the wins against the Bucks and Giannis, the Clippers, Kawhi. He did that toward the end of the season. He did this with a crew, Stephen A. Anthony Davis, a 55-game-a-year player, really. Even last year, 56 games. LeBron's coming off catastrophic injury. The rest, there's no other all-stars on the crew. It's a great and successful season for him so far. And if so far is all we got, that's a successful season.
Stephen A. Smith, I agree with you. Max, I disagree with you. There are two ways to look at this. One is a rational perspective, which I can understand as a fan. You would have a rational perspective on this. When you think about it, Max, you're looking at, hey, this is his first year with a new team, first year, new coach, first year with the duo system with him and Anthony Davis. He, you know, led the league in assists. They're top of the Western Conference. That's a rational way to look at it. I think LeBron can look at that, look at it that way 10 years from now when he can put the game into perspective. But as an athlete, I never look at things rationally, Max. I'm irrational. That's what makes me great, right? I think I could do things that the normal person thinks I could never do. That's what is my dare to greatness. Now, we compare him to Michael Jordan as far as mindset. I know LeBron James is incredibly competitive. So when you look at this season as a whole, and Stephen A. Smith said it, you're 17, 35 years old. Like, I remember my losses way more than I remember my championships. So I'm going to look back at this season as a competitive athlete and be like, we missed this one. We missed this one. We had this one. So yes, can I say this season maybe surpassed my expectations? Yeah. Can I say this season was maybe satisfactory because of these things that we were able to accomplish? Yeah. But ultimately, as a competitive athlete, I measure my success based upon winning the championship.
Yeah, I mean, winning the championship, it should be the greatest measure of success, but let's also remember it's a team sport. My God, it's not an individual sport. So LeBron doing everything he can, and then there are just things that are out of your control. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. You can do something about saving water this spring. Save water this spring. Get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed. Saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. Go check it out. All right, I want your take. Which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest that's coming up this weekend? Mike in Indiana, what do you got? What's your take on it?
I'm going to go with Larry Legend, Larry Bird. He was crazy confident, one of the greatest trash talkers in NBA history in the game and in the three-point contest. And come on, he hung with Jordan in one of the greatest commercials, that McDonald's commercial of all time.
Oh, I mean, flexing with the commercial there is a smart idea. I'm not even mad about that. You got to bring the commercial into the conversation because, let's face it, we all remember. In fact, Eric McLean, my buddy who works for the ACC Network, tweeted to me. You can tweet me your thoughts on it at Jason Fitz. He said, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan for a Big Mac. Make that the prize. Make them all go at it for a Big Mac. I'm all in for that. Jim in Ohio, what's your take? Who would you want to see participating in a horse contest?
Well, I heard you say you didn't want anybody. You wouldn't expect anybody to go against Steph, but I'll tell you what, in their prime, go back, I would love to see Reggie Miller and Steph go at it, because I think that Reggie's competitive nature, that choke on Spike Lee, I think he'd pull it out.
You know what, I'm not even mad about that. You're right, like, Reggie had range. There's no doubt about it. Like, the two things that scare you the most in horse is a guy that has absolutely limitless range and can shoot from anywhere, or the guy that can do crazy dunks or trick shots that nobody can replicate. I'm surprised we haven't seen any dunkers on this. Tell me, what player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest? Again, that's going to be this weekend. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, we have more NBA news. I mentioned it in the headlines that we were starting the show with, and the Bulls have tabbed Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnisovas to lead their basketball operations. It looks like that's another hiring in the NBA. The question is, does the NBA have a hiring problem when it comes to front office jobs in the league, specifically with the Bulls, and a minority hiring issue? Stephen A. chimed in on that today on First Take.
The fact of the matter is that when you are the Chicago Bulls and you have a host of candidates for the job, and not one of them are an African-American candidate in a league that's more than 75% black, I think that's a red flag. That's number one. Number two, it also resonates with me. Max, you can appreciate this position. One of the candidates was Brian Colangelo. We know what happened. I like Brian, but we know what happened with him in Philly. The fact that he's on a list before a black candidate speaks to a culture that exists in the NBA, at least to some degree, where black folks are on the outside looking in, unfortunately. And I'm certainly not going to blame the league office for that. The deputy commissioner is a black man, and Mark Tatum, for crying out loud. But I'm certainly not going to look at the league for that. I'm going to look at individual teams and the level of you know, sensitivity, for lack of a better word, that's being brought to the equation. That's number two. Number three, analytics, I think, plays a role in all of this, because anybody, and I don't know this particular individual's background, to be quite honest with you, I haven't paid much attention to it, but what I would tell you is that what we've been seeing in recent memory is a slew of individuals associated with analytics that are getting hired. And it's rare, if ever, that you see a black man in the mix in regards to all of that. So you got a whole bunch of guys that are great with numbers. They're numbers crunchers. They analyze things from that perspective. That is a language owners understand, because owners, by virtue of knowing numbers and knowing business, are incredibly receptive to these individuals. They hire them, and these individuals hire folks that they're comfortable with, that they know, and very rare are they black men. That's number three. And number four, and last but not least, Max Kellerman, I'm going to point this out. Again, I'm going to dig into it a little bit deeper before, you know, I go any further than what I'm about to go. I'll stop by saying it raises my eyebrow. It raises a red flag. Mark Spears, who does a great job for us, you know, should have been speaking on this issue as well. But I will say this. We've talked on many occasions about player empowerment, the Chris Pauls, the LeBron James, the Steph Currys, and others. We're talking about a league that's over 75 to 80% black. Where are the players speaking on these issues on behalf of black men who want to coach and want to be executives in this league? It would be nice if their social consciousness, if their political consciousness basically came back to thinking about black men who aspire to be in decision-making and decision-influential positions, since these players have so much influence themselves, that they would step back and look out for those that are trying to come up in the profession, but not on the playing court, in the coach's box, in the executive box. It would really be nice to hear modern-day players speak on that issue, especially since they're so powerful.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We'll keep taking your take. Which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take coming up. Plus, why is Dabo Swinney so confident the college football season will start on time this year? You'll hear what he had to say on First Take next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you which player, past or present, you most want to see participating in the horse contest. We're going to get the first round of that contest Sunday on ESPN from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Finals and semifinals April 16th on ESPN from 9 to 11 Eastern. Got a bunch of NBA stars that are getting into it, getting into this moment. I'm going to take one real quick. Tristan in Pittsburgh, I want to hear your take on who you want to see in the horse contest.
Jason Fist, I need you to imagine this for me. I need Trae Young, I need Damian Lillard, and I need Chris Paul up against Big Easy Lofton, Hammer Harrison, and Cheese Chisholm, current NBA players versus the Harlem Globetrotters for charity on ESPN.
Tristan, you have blown my mind with brilliance. My God, that is awesome. I mean, you don't want to play horse against any of the Globetrotters, right? Like, they're going to do everything. It's the worst when you're playing horse against somebody that you know is going to do some trick you simply can't replicate right before or during the shot. I'm all in on that. That's great. Keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to it in just a second. But we got big words today from a big name. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney joined First Take today to talk about a little bit about one of his former players, DeAndre Hopkins, but also to talk about whether or not his confidence, I should say, in college football and why he believes it's coming back. Check out Dabo Swinney today on First Take.
Other than simply your optimism rooted in your faith, because the season ain't that far away, do you have any other reason for believing as you do that the season will start on time?
No. I mean, just my faith, just my hope, my belief. That's really what that's rooted in. At the end of the day, you know, the leaders of universities, the presidents, the commissioners, the medical experts, they're ultimately going to make a decision on if we play, when we play, when we start. And my job is to have my team ready, and we'll certainly do that. But my mindset is to make sure that, you know, I have best case scenario ready to go, and we'll adjust from there. But my optimism is simply from nothing else other than my faith.
You've got a lot of people out there that have been, you know, volleying back and forth debating about having games without fans in attendance. On the pro level, it seems plausible with the television contracts or what have you. Obviously, college football is bigger than just the top five schools or even the top five conferences. The AD for Notre Dame came out and said his belief is that you can't have college football without the fans. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of discussion that will have to be, you know, have to come forth. And again, there's just so much unknown right now. This is April the 9th. I would say May 9th, you could have me back on, and we're probably going to have different conversation and different questions the way this thing is changing all the time. And I think by the time you get into June and July and August, the conversations are even very different then. But to answer your question, I think college football is very different from the NFL. In the NFL, there's 32 teams. And as you said, college football is way bigger than just the Power Five. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, the decisions will come through the presidents, the commissioners, the ADs, the TV people, all those things. and whatever is best, that decision will be made. But fees, could it happen? I mean, of course, anything can happen. I would say that that's probably more unlikely than not. But I have no idea, what next week's going to bring, much less 3 months from now.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. A lot of truth and transparency from there from Dabo Swinney. And we've talked about and heard from several coaches over the last 72 hours, the last week in the college football community. One of them came up in conversation this morning on Golic and Wingo, which I was on for a little while. It was Jimbo Fisher talking about sort of the responsibility of football to get back as soon as possible to help fund all of the other sports that football's responsible for. Mike Golic Jr. took a little bit of umbrage to the word responsibility and the pressure it puts on athletes. So I want to get thoughts on it from an expert. Paul Feinbaum joins us now of the Paul Feinbaum Show, which you can check out weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. Paul, first and foremost, I hope you and yours are safe and healthy. Thank you so much for the time. Jimbo was obviously on with you. So when you heard Jimbo talk about the responsibility that football has to get back, what was your immediate reaction to the words?
I understood why he said it, although I think he's wrong in this regard. College football is great. It does serve a lot of purposes. But the initial reason for college football was not to make money. It was to provide a curriculum for students to have a have things that they were proud of and could participate in and compete with. And I know that you look at the numbers now, and that seems like a long time ago. But to have a college football season without fans is insane. It's not worth it. And I think Jack Swarbrick, when he was with us the other day, said he would not tolerate it at Notre Dame. And I'm not coming down on Jimbo. I think Jimbo was trying to be a football coach. He was also trying to acknowledge that he's paid $7 million a year and that money has to come from somewhere.
Paul, I guess my concern, and as opposed to professional athletes where they're unionized and they can stand up and say, no, we're not comfortable with it. My great concern is that we're going to put college kids in a situation where they feel pressured to come back in, even if they're not comfortable with it. So what sense do you have of how the athletes can sort of protect themselves?
Well, it's a great point. And just think about this for a second. If it's not safe for fans to be in the stands, why would it be safe for athletes to be on the field? They're going through similar things, in some ways even worse. As bad as it is trying to walk into a football stadium at State College or Bryan Denny or Notre Dame, you're not in a locker room, which is a very small place with 120 people. You're at least outside. There are dangers everywhere. So I understand the concepts that some people are throwing up, that maybe you could have the NBA recalibrate to start out initially without fans and see where we are on the calendar. But I think to start the college football season and say, we really don't have a plan for getting fans in there, but it's okay for 17 to 22-year-olds to be on the field is just simply unacceptable. And I would be very surprised if college presidents, who ultimately have the responsibility of those students and the student-athletes, to tolerate that. I think it would obliterate the rather shaky image we currently have of amateur athletics, and I say that tongue-in-cheek. You and I have covered college football for quite a while, and it's hard not to be cynical. But if you can't have people in the stands, then are you going to be able to have people on your campus? And if you're not having students on your campus, then there's no way in the world you're going to let football players come back and work out and compete. To me, it's a non-starter. I don't think the powers that be would allow it. I know it's a money grab, and I know that college football supports countless other non-revenue sports, but you would simply just destroy the system if you allowed that.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Again, you can hear that weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network at its first take, your take. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Paul, the other part of this, you talk about financial loss. Well, the NCAA set a little bit of a precedent when they gave winter sports eligibility back to people that were affected by cancellations. What's the NCAA's level of concern at this point that they may have opened up Pandora's box should the worst-case scenario happen and football not get a season off this year?
Well, from a pure precedent standpoint, they would have to let players come back. Now, the question then becomes, would your better players come back? And the answer is no. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson is not coming back to play in the 21 season if he doesn't play in 2020. He served his time. He could have gone. He probably would have gone first or second in the draft coming up. So I think the elite will go. I think it will create headaches for a lot of coaches who are more fixated on getting the next class in than worrying about what they have. I think the transfer portal would be an absolute overload. And I think instead of freshmen, sophomore, and juniors bailing out, you'd see a lot of people who they let come back bail. And there's nothing you could do. You couldn't say, okay, we're going to give you another year, but you can't transfer. That's contradictory. So, Pandora's box doesn't even describe it. I mean, we use that expression all the time. I mean, this is far bigger and more crowded than that.
You can check out the Paul Finebaum Show again weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. Paul, as always, man, I appreciate your expertise. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for the time.
It's be well. Stay safe, and thanks so much.
Follow him on Twitter, at Finebaum. This is sort of what we're waiting to hear from college football coaches, because their voice has power. And I've said that several times on Go Look and Wingo. I'll say it again here. When we were trying in certain areas to get people to actually shut down and stay indoors, what did places look to? They looked to college football for stars and coaches to sit down and do videos to say to their fans, hey, stay inside, we need it. They did it because of the power that comes with that voice. Now, as a result, when we're in these times of uncertainty, it makes a lot of sense to be talking to college football coaches. But at the end of the day, the more they talk, the more likely they are to put themselves in a situation where they're having to defend what they're saying. The real of it is, none of us know. I said earlier, we choose to be positive. There's nothing wrong with that mindset. We can also be real and say there are tremendous challenges facing college football, the NFL, facing all sports right now, because we just don't know. So we'll continue to be positive as much as we can be, but we also have to be real in acknowledging that the ramifications of this could be absolutely catastrophic to schools all over the country. We're going to keep taking your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to do that next. We're asking you, if you could get any player, past or present, to participate in this weekend's horse contest, who would it be? Load up the lines, get your take in next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll do that next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you, which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest this weekend? You guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. If you missed the interview we just did with Paul Finebaum, go check it out. It's on demand. The First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with the rate five times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. Before we get back to your take, Stephen A. has figured out a time in his mind, according to the sources he's spoken to, that the NBA needs to get rolling if they want to have any season this year. And the question is, would they need to get it all finished before the NFL season starts if they're going to resume? This is what Stephen A. said today.
My personal opinion is that it has to be by late June. So the playoffs can go into July. I don't think there should be any 7-game series. I think there should be 5-game series. But it has to be in late June. If you can't get started by late June, I think you call off the season. I don't believe that the NBA playoffs should, absent of basketball, regular season games and all of this stuff since the league suspended play earlier in March. I do not believe you go from there and then you not play basketball until July, and then you go into the NFL season. I don't believe the NFL season is going to delay anything. These owners, I think, are going to make sure that they play football games. They don't give a damn if not a single fan is in attendance. I mean, I don't mean that literally. Of course they do. But in the end, as long as those television cameras are working and those games are going to be televised, I think that's where their priority lies. They are going to play these games. And I don't believe if you're the NBA, particularly with a shortened season, a compromise, a drastically compromised season because of the coronavirus, that you go into, you take the playoffs or the finals into an NFL season. I believe that whatever it takes to make sure that the NBA season expires right before the beginning of the NFL regular season begins. I think you have up until that point. I think anything that digs in or delves in to the regular season for the NFL is not a good thing for the NBA. I think the NBA knows it. So I think they're targeting, according to the people that I've spoken to, I've spoken to numerous owners and executives, of course. And from what I hear, everybody believes that if there is going to be a season, and it's still a big if, that June, somewhere in June, is when it has to jumpstart. If it doesn't by then, they're going to call it a season.
If there is to be an NBA season, I think you can push it back as far as possible in 2020. I mean, as long as you're ending basically, not exactly, but basically before the year turns, I would try it. I would not be, Jay, there may be logistical issues there, and you'd know more than me about how that would affect the following season, right? Which maybe we need to start worrying about the following season in sports generally. Like, how do we salvage that? But in terms of this year, I would not be worried about the big, bad NFL. Yes, the NFL is the most popular American sport, especially on television. But I don't know that the NBA needs to sweat that. Guys, what's the best month for sports fans? October, because everything's going on. You know, this idea that, well, if there's one sport, then the other sport can't compete against it. Maybe not at times certain games head-to-head, but generally, there are plenty of hours in the day for content. There are plenty of NBA fans. And in my way of thinking of it, general interest in sports does not get, like, oversaturated simply because there's NFL.
General interest in sports is going to be higher than ever when we finally get him, including a horse contest this weekend. Your take, who do you wish, past or present, what player do you wish was participating in the horse contest? Jim in Montana, who you got?
I'll tell you what, I got two. I got an old one and a new one. First, I'm going to go with Steph Curry as a pure shooter, one of the best that has ever existed. And my second one would be Pistol Pete Maravich, another great shooter and a great competitor that could shoot all over the floor.
Oh, I love that. You guys are going with the shooters. Everybody wants the long-range guys. I kind of like this. Randall in Cincinnati, your take on the horse contest.
Hey, Jason. I've got not necessarily a specific player in mind, but more of a bracket challenge. You take four brackets, maybe the top four guys at each, including the Hall of Famers. You've got your current NBA players, and then going off which one of your last callers said, the Globetrotters, and then maybe a street baller bracket.
I love the idea of a turtle. That's a great idea, Randall. That is spectacular. You know, you could use that fourth one. You could do celebrity, too. So many celebrities want to play, so you could come in and do a celebrity bracket as the fourth. Let each of them do their best, and then you're going to end up with an NBA player, a current player, a legend, a Globetrotter, and a celeb that are all finally in your final four. Oh, that would be spectacular. And let's be real. The other side of this, the gambling options on this, going to be pretty good. I'm just saying, I love this. I want more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell me which player, past or present, you want to see participating in the horse contest. Again, it's this Sunday on ESPN, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Finals and semifinals are April 16th on ESPN2. So we'll have plenty of opportunity to do it and watch it go down. We'll keep getting your take. Plus, QB Continued takes a look at an important team in the AFC. You'll hear it next. First, take your take.